A dispatch from the real economy in a few minutes, checking in on Ferguson, Missouri. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First, a new report on deadly air pollution. Researchers in Seattle and Boston have determined that India now rivals China for worst airborne pollution in the form of particulates from tailpipes, factories, and the burning of other fuel. The data is from the Health Effects Institute in Seattle and the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation in Boston, and finds that 1.1 million people will die prematurely a year in both China and India. Experts say while China is trying to address this, India in large part is not. Let's switch now to the streets of Calcutta, where we find BBC reporter Rahul Tandon. Hello, Rahul.
Hello, David.
So this news, the data that India is now down there with China as having the deadliest air pollution in the world, at some level, won't come as a surprise.
No, I don't think it will at all. To many people, Calcutta has been worse than Delhi when it comes to air pollution. This is the time of year when many Indian cities struggle. And I'm afraid to say we have the report by the Health Effects Institute. The message is clear. In terms of air pollution, India is pretty much the worst in the world at the moment.
But with these levels of premature deaths in India, are you saying politicians are not addressing this as a priority?
We have elections in Uttar Pradesh, India's most populous state. I've just come back from Varanasi, the Prime Minister Narendra Modi's constituency. There, as the campaigning's taking place, the environment, the quality of the air are never mentioned by politicians in the speeches, the hundreds of speeches that they're giving.
Because the politicians tend to what? Just be blind to the problem or are worried about economic development and setting that as a priority over dealing with the environmental issue?
I think a lot of politicians would say, look, India is now beginning to develop. And for that, they need energy. And much of that is going to come from fossil fuel. But I do think there is another problem here. We don't have a mass environmental movement to put pressure on the politicians to say, look, there has to be a way around it when it's having such an impact on people's lives. Doctors are telling children, don't go and play in the playgrounds. They're telling the elderly, don't go for your morning walk, because that's the time when the pollution levels are so high. So yes, India does need to develop. On the other hand, this country has to take it more seriously. Otherwise, we're going to see far more deaths than we've seen reported in this particular study.
The BBC's Rahul Tandon on the streets of Calcutta today. Rahul, thank you.
Thank you so much, David.
In 2014, Michael Brown, an 18-year-old black teenager, was shot dead by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri. Days of civil unrest followed, throwing a spotlight on a community struggling with underemployment, deep-rooted racial issues, and a flawed criminal justice system. It also added fuel to the Black Lives Matter movement. Since Brown's death, political change has come to Ferguson, and as Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports, its economy is changing.
It's been more than 2 years since the shooting, and people are still curious about Ferguson. So, every so often, the neighborhood where Michael Brown was killed becomes a stopping point for tour groups.
And then there's a dove that marks the area right where he was killed and where he laid 4.5 hours.
Ferguson City Councilwoman Laverne Mitchum is guiding a group from the National Coalition of Black Meeting Planners, which is hosting its annual conference in St. Louis. As the bus pulled up to the site of Brown's death, neighborhood kids doing tricks on their bikes stopped to gawk at the strangers who were gawking at their neighborhood. But this bus tour wasn't just about Ferguson's past.
Now this coming up is the Metrolink, and this is going to connect transportation for all of North County. And see, it helps our economy because of the jobs and everything.
Some businesses along the main road, destroyed in the aftermath of the shooting, still haven't reopened. But Mitchum prefers to focus on the new.
We have a Starbucks and several businesses here on West Florissant that have, since Michael Brown was killed and all of the civil unrest, that have come to our community.
One of those businesses is the medical coding company Centene. It's built a sprawling new complex just off the main road through Ferguson. The smell of fresh paint still lingers in some areas. Chris Van Dale is a director of claims here. He says Centene chose to locate its new branch in Ferguson after all the unrest.
You know, it felt good. It felt good to be doing something positive. in an area that there wasn't always positive news about.
Workers don't need a college degree to work at Centene. The company trains people to translate complicated medical forms into data for insurers and healthcare providers. There's also a community center, a gym, and an on-site daycare where snoring toddlers nap on a winter afternoon. The daycare is particularly useful to Sonia Woods, who has a young daughter. Woods is in her 20s, grew up in Ferguson, and is now a supervisor at the facility. She says before all the attention, there weren't many opportunities for good jobs close to home.
You typically have to drive 10 to 15 miles east, west, north, or south to get to something like this. So I think that the job market was kind of small and limited, but now it's opening up.
Woods says she used to bristle at the reactions people had when she told them she was from Ferguson.
It was a time in which it was kind of hard to live here, so we've come a long way. And that was what Michael did. Like, he gave us a better opportunity than what anybody else kind of wanted to give us at the time.
Now, she says, the people of Ferguson are using that opportunity to move forward. In Ferguson, Missouri, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.